I remember after fasting, praying, seeking for numbers of years, evangelizing, so positive that I was right, having read the Bible through and through and through, begging and crying and pleading, all of a sudden my eyes came open and I said, "My God, Lord, this just ain't possible. I know that I was right, but I know that I'm wrong. I've been so mistaken, and yet I've been so sincere." So then just being sincere is not enough. You might think being sincere will get the job done, but being sincere is not enough. We've made the statement a number of times that people that are sincere, they throw their children to the crocodiles. They feed them to the snake. They're just as sincere as they can be and a lot more sincere than you are, because many of you wouldn't dare do a thing like that. Now, but believing that it pleases God, they do things like that. I want to talk with you just a little bit. Maybe it won't keep you long, but I want to talk to you just a little bit out of my heart about faith. I want you to listen real close for just a little bit of time that we talk with you. The 35th chapter, the book of Psalms. Let's read just a little bit together, can we? "Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of the shield and buckler, and stand up for mine help. Draw out also the spear, and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause have they hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. And let destruction come upon him at unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself. Into that very destruction let him fall. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord, and it shall rejoice in his salvation. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee, which delivereth the poor from him that is too strong for him? Yea, the poor and the needy from him that spoileth him. False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. They rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into mine own bosom. I behaved myself, and though he had been my friend or brother, I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother. But in mine adversity they rejoiced and gathered themselves together. Yea, the abjects gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear me and ceased not with hypocritical mockers and feast. They gnashed upon me with their teeth. Lord, how long will they look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling from the lions. I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land. Yea, they open their mouth wide against me, and said, Aha, ha, our eyes have seen it. This thou hast seen, O Lord. Keep not silence. O Lord, be not far from me. Stir up thyself and awake to my judgment, even unto my cause, my God and my Lord. Judge me, O Lord, my God, according to thy righteousness, and let them not rejoice over me. Let them not say in their hearts, Ha, so would we have it. Let them not say, We have swallowed him up. Let them be ashamed and brought to confusion together that rejoice at mine hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor that magnify themselves against me. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, that there is no fear of God before his eyes, for he flattereth himself in his own eyes, until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. And thou shalt make them drink of the rivers of thy pleasure. For with thee is the fountain of life, and thy light shall we see light. O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me. There are the workers of iniquity fallen. They are cast down and shall not be able to rise. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked device to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. There's one thing for sure. The words that God has spoken, he will bring to pass. It will be just the way that God has said it will be. There won't be any changes. There won't be any alterations. It will be according to the way the Savior has stated it. I was talking to some of the brethren just recently about failure and success in trying to do something for God. You know, a lot of people will never be able to succeed in the things of God. One of the reasons is because they do not understand. If a person does not understand, then there is no way that they can succeed in Christ Jesus. You know, I was thinking about the situation that arose that I made mention of tonight. In making the commitment that I made, all of a sudden, out of the darkness of night, there came every kind of thing, and all of a sudden I found myself facing at least $50,000. Whereas it appears that, or seems that every time that I make a commitment, that without fail, the devil has something in the darkness to bring about to try to hinder me. But I never have let it stop me. I never have considered it. I just always prayed. I always made sure that what I was doing was the pleasure of God and the desire of God, and it didn't make any difference if the lions come out of the den. After I started, I still continued with what I had to do and trusted God to take care of the enemy and to still meet my needs. And so many times God has to meet my needs plus. And He does in many, many ways. He's been doing it for years. Now I was thinking about the $50,000 and I was praying and I was asking God to meet it. And I said, Lord, there's no way that I can meet it. And I said, the brethren, sometimes they bring in maybe $2,000, $3,000, which is a lot of money to help. But I said, it is such a little bit when I have to meet such a great thing in such a short time. All just seemingly springing up overnight and within just a few weeks having to meet those things. Then I start praying and start believing God. And God always works a miracle. And I told my wife the other day, I said, I got to have a miracle, Betty. I said, I can't take anything less than a miracle. I've got to have a miracle to be able to face the situation and to do the thing that we're going to do. The Lord had talked to me that night and told me just exactly the steps to take. And that day, I was believing the Lord for a miracle. And believe it or not, within a day or two, God worked a great miracle. He systemized everything to His own desire. He brought everything to my favor and gave me what I needed to meet $50,000 and laid it line to line to where I didn't have any problem. Now, only Jesus can do that. Only the Lord can do that. Now, if you think that you can do it, you can try. But I'll tell you before you start, you won't be able to do it. Only God can do that. God did it. And I thank the Lord for it. I praise God for it. Everything's fine. We've got the victory. Everything's going good. We're continuing to believe God. People are being healed around the different parts of the nation. We're getting reports all the time, and God is blessing and God is healing. And wonderful things are taking place. The great spiritual revelation of Jesus Christ is taking place everywhere. I noticed some little something that happened a few days ago. It was real significant concerning the things of God, and yet it seemed real insignificant so far as a childish act. But I noticed Brother Mike that came up from Florida. He come in the other day. He had bought him a white Western hat. He put it on and he come and was showing it to me. He was real enthused over it. And it was a nice hat. And he said, Brother Pike, said, I bought me a hat. He said, I paid $10 for it. And I said, well, that's real nice. It's pretty. And he said, I paid my tithe. I said, well, that's good. He said, I gave some more too. He wanted me to know that he had bought him a hat, but he didn't take God's money to buy it. So I thought, well, that's real good, Mike. He took a few little jewels like that he had bought from the dime store somewhere, and he put them in a row on his hat. And they were right pretty. So thinking that they were right pretty, he decided he'd put me some on my hat. So he got my hat and he put me a little row of jewels on there too. Put me a little pyramid and put me a little red jewel in the middle of it. Put me a little golden dove on it. And I was talking to him, and I'm always watching to see what the Spirit will say to the church. As I was watching and listening to God, I saw those little old jewels go on, and I said, Mike, I said, do you know what those have to do with? I said, that has to do with the fivefold ministry. Whereas it's easy, you know, to count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and say, well, 5, you know, you could liken it to most anything. But really, that's what it had to do with, was the fivefold ministry. I said, now that little insignificant thing has to do with the fivefold ministry, which is really sevenfold, not five. The Bible speaks of the apostles, the prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers. Then it speaks of the heps and the governments. So I noticed the 5 little jewels, and then I noticed the little pyramid, and then I noticed the little dove. Mike brought 7 little holders, and you that are spiritual-minded, you'll see what I'm saying. You that are carnal-minded, it'll just be foolishness to you. Because the Bible said the things of God are foolishness to the natural man. But he brought me 7 little holders. He laid them down. I said, now there is the 7 church ages. Mike, you see that? I picked up the 7 little holders and I put them in my pocket. I took them and I went up to the house and I put them in a little drawer and a little chest. Now there it was, those little jewels. There were 7 little holders, for he had gotten 7 little jewels, 5 of which he put on my hat, along with the pyramid and the little golden dove. There was Mike. Some of you remember the vision that we had down in Santa Rosa, just before we went into San Pedro Sula, Honduras. When we was down in Central America, you remember. There the Lord had spoke to me in Santa Rosa about the vision of the end time, the restoration and the redemption of the body. Here come Mike from Santa Rosa County, where we supposedly will dock the boat, having to do with the redemption. He came up, drawed those pictures that had to do with the thunders, the one that we spoke of that night that you saw when you were here. He put these little jewels on a hat that Brother Jerry Lambert had given me. And I heard the Lord say something, and I looked, and there was a beautiful picture of the Lamb, the crown, the hat that Brother Lambert had given me. A beautiful picture of a crown, the Lamb's crown with the jewels. And there it was, a beautiful thing, the resurrection from the dead and the catching away into the Spirit that we'd preached that night concerning the keys. And as I looked into this little drawer where I put these little 7 holders, I heard a voice say, "The drawer is empty." I said, "It's empty, Lord." He said, "The jewels were stolen. The thief by night." God said, "When I make up my jewels, I'll remember thee. As a man remembereth his son, I'll spare thee." He said, "The jewels coming as a thief in the night, being stolen away." And sure enough, they had been. We'd had some that had come from Louisiana that had to do with the redemption of the body. And there they had been stolen. Very unusual thing for Bethlehem, because as a rule, people don't steal things at Bethlehem. It's just been in the last little bit when we told you that the crossing of the Jordan would bring the leaven that would mix with the unleavened, the different ones coming in and out would bother things. And so then the Lord suffered it all for his purpose. But there the jewels was gone. And the Lord said to me, he said, "There's no jewels in the 7 holders." He said, "All of the 7 jewels of the 7 holders are gone." And then I heard something say, "The church age messengers are not here anymore." The 7 little jewels that represented the church age messengers had went away. There lay 7 little holders with 7 little holes, empty holes. And all of the jewels had gone away with them. It was a beautiful, beautiful thing, typically of the rapture of the church and the 7 messengers leaving, all raptured away, and the end of the church ages. There, the little empty jewel chest, I was looking at it, and it was a beautiful thing to see that all of those 7 messengers and messages had gone into one message and one messenger, having been pinned on that hat, typifying the revelation of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, the battle of Michael and the red dragon. Some of you won't understand this, but the tree of education denotes the wicked one, Lucifer, the carnal mind of death, the serpent. Men are likened to a generation of vipers by John the Baptist and some of the others. The blood life is what God calls the red dragon, the life of corruption and death that's contrary to spiritual life and eternal existence. But about the time all this had taken place, Brother Jameson, that had to do with that going down into Louisiana and the casting out of the Red Dragon, having to do with the third part of the angels being cast out because of the large family, all of this taking place because he had to do with education and the educational system of the world, having his degree from college, the red hair, continually in the study of books. And some of you remember the picture we took of him in the midst of all the books. Whereas every person has a natural side that relates back to the beast and that which is fallen, and a spiritual side that relates to heaven and that which is redeemed. Now, I told Brother Jameson before he left what it had to do with and what he had to do with in leaving. But there it was, so beautiful, and Michael Beachy going over taking his trailer because the war was with Michael that cast out the Red Dragon. That is the intellectual learning part. All of it so beautifully transpiring and taking place in its humble, simple-like manner, God having hid it from the eyes of the wise and of the prudent, making it revelation unto babes, such as we'll learn. We who are natural-minded look at natural things and we think naturally. We that are heavenly-minded look at heavenly things and we think heavenly. You live in the mind of man. Christians live in the mind of God, seeing always the things that the Father does. Tonight, the same with you. The mind of God can take any one individual in here. Look at your life and you'd be shocked to know what it looks like. You'd be shocked to know just where you're at, who you are, and what you're doing in the mind of the judgment as to the way you'll be judged in the day of the judgment when that mind beholds you as you are. So then it is so beautiful to see God moving in the simplicity of Christ in things that seem to be so insignificant, and yet they're so mighty in the sight of God in hearing what the Spirit hath to say unto the churches. Now, let me point out something here as I talk with you. The reason a lot of people are not able to see spiritual things and understand spiritual things is because they are not spiritually minded. Paul said, I would like to speak unto you as unto spirituals, but seeing that you're babes in Christ, that is, you're carnally minded, he said, I cannot. He exhorted, therefore, that we should seek for the sincere milk of the word, in that the meat belongs to the strong. They who have by reasoning exercise their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. Looking at the spiritual things, he said, pray that God will grant unto you that spirit of revelation, that your eyes might be enlightened, that you may be able to comprehend the heights, the depths, and the width, the length, the things of God. I was talking to some of the brethren concerning faith and why that people don't succeed in the things of God when they feel that they are a believer and when they feel that they have faith in God. One of the things, let's look at it like this. I just met $50,000 because of God. He worked it all out. Now, when I say that God did it, for me, I mean that God did it for the brotherhood. A few days ago, I was out on the field working for God. I told the Lord, I said, God, if I press the battle out here in the field, then I know that when I go back, I'm going to have a problem. Because things is going down on the home front. I know you can't believe this, but a lot of times I hurt my wife by saying things to her to try to protect the brotherhood. And Betty, she'll say, "You're so wrong." I said, "Well, I've got confidence in my brothers." To come to find out, a lot of times that they are very deceitful. Not all of them. Many of them are wonderful brothers. Some of them are very deceitful. False brethren, the Bible calls them. It's hard for you to believe, but sometimes in making pledges, one will pledge $100. The week will go by, he will not give it. He will not tell anybody, nor he will make no effort to catch it up. He'll pledge another $100. He'll pledge another $50. And it'll go by, and it'll go by, and continue to go by. And he'll not do anything at all about it. It makes it look like that Brother Pike and the Brotherhood took in a lot of money. And then others are pronged to wonder where it went to. Brother Taylor called my attention to the books today. I don't ever get to see him as a rule, but I had to talk with Brother Attlee over the phone. And Brother Taylor was there, and he said, "Brother Pike, I just have to show you this." And he showed it to me one right after another. And it shocked me, not because I didn't know they were doing it, but to know that some of them was doing it, you know, so many multiplied weeks. Linked together week after week. And some of them who you'd never dream would do it. And some of them who I wouldn't dare question because I thought they were loyal. Pledging continually every week. Brother Taylor says, "Look at this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 down the line." I said, "I owe Sister Betty an apology. In our midst that would do such an evil thing." Some of them that say I'm present and I'm here, sometimes it seems a little repulsive when others are saying, you know, so much for this or that or to help. Whereas really they shouldn't ride that for a hobby horse. They should have in their heart to do something for God. But there is more integrity with some of them than with some of the others. Some who deceitfully say that I've got to catch up after making a pledge, who really don't make any effort but uses it week after week to escape the responsibility of the ministry. While the others, they make pledges, and rather than allowing the brotherhood to see them as they really are, they just go right on. And they make that pledge, and they make that pledge, and they don't fulfill that pledge at all. And it appears to the brethren that those that are not making pledges are a bunch of renegades, and those that are making the pledges are a bunch of angels. But brethren, I want you to know it's just the reverse in a lot of cases. Your integrity is greater than some of the others who has been so deceitful. It perhaps would have been better, you know, if Brother Taylor hadn't let me see that, so I could have just went on thinking, you know. But Brother Taylor knows he's in the fire if he don't keep the records right and let us know what's going on. I want to tell you that that is the reason why you don't succeed in God. You don't want the responsibility of God, and you won't be straight with God. And you won't be honest with God, and you won't confess your sins and forsake your sins so that you can prosper. Some of you will not make a commitment to God so that you won't have the responsibility. Others make a commitment to God and make no effort to keep it, which puts you in an Ananias and a Sapphira condition, in that it was yours before you pledged it. And then you pledged it and made no effort to do it.
But this is the reason why people do not succeed with God. Faith can never work for people like that. Faith has to have a sure foundation. Let's examine faith for just a few minutes tonight. First of all, we met $50,000 when so many brethren let down. Right at the time, there's a recession, according to what they say. God still blessed us to buy an airplane and to meet the need. Now, while I was out on the field, everything began to drop. That's the reason it dropped, because of the deceitfulness and unconcern. But I told the Lord it would do that, and He knew that. And I said, now, Lord, I'm going to do my very best to press the issue. But when I get home, you're going to have to work a miracle for me that I'll be able to bring about a means of rehabilitation to our operation to where it will be smooth again and to where there'll be no reproach on the name of Jesus. And so then God worked the miracle when I came back, because I found it not only in the condition I expected, but worse. God beautifully raised it up, straightened it out, never lost a thing. Our name remained good. The Lord took care of it. The Bible said a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. That if you have anybody in the church ordained to a certain position, that he first should be a man of wisdom, should be of a good report of them that are without, or have a good name, that he should be full of the great Holy Spirit. One thing is for the purpose that those that are without, that they might not fight against what you're doing and crush you. So you must have a good name, so that your testimony will be of a benefit to them that are without. For those are the ones that we're trying to convert. Not only be of a good name, but you have to have wisdom, that you might do things right in your field of operation and not wreck the kingdom of God and the things of God that's committed to your trust. Another thing, you must have the Spirit of God, be full of the Holy Ghost, so that you will have that spiritual unction that will give you the concern that you need to be about your Father's business, or that will create the interest in you to where you will have a delight in the things of God. When it comes to faith, let's look at our own situation. I, as a minister, I met $50,000 by faith in God. Now, why is it that God did not meet the needs while I was on the field in the sense of little Bethlehem? You know why? He could not meet it. Now, when you say God cannot do anything, that's a big statement. We know that God can do all things. And yet, when you consider it, God cannot meet a need under those conditions that he had to meet it under. And yet, God can do all things. So then he can and he can't. Someone would say, well, that's confusing, Brother Pike. No, God can do all things. For there is nothing that is impossible with God. But God, who has an office of integrity, is like a judge. God cannot do certain things because of prevailing conditions, lest he be partakers of the evil, the lethargy, and the unconcern. He has principles. A person that is an upright person might, potentially speaking, be able to do many things in your behalf. But on the other hand, be bound completely to where they cannot do anything on your behalf, in that your state of being or character would reflect them, and it causes them not to be able to help you because of your misuse of that which they would commit to your trust, making the person that wants to help you appear in the eyes of those out yonder, even as you, wretched. So then, God, why did he meet the 50,000? For this reason, the little boy gave to Jesus his fishes and loaves. That meant that he had done all that he could do. He couldn't do any more. He gave God all that he had. It wasn't sufficient. Neither is it sufficient here. When the brethren bring what they have, it's not sufficient. In that we are not sufficient within ourselves. But because they give God all that they have, they've done all that they could, then God steps forward and God says, I will meet the need. Because I can meet the need. I am able to meet the need. I have the power to meet the need. And you've made it possible so that I can meet the need, in that I will not be supporting lethargy, laziness, or unconcern. It's like the mother that has children. You've heard me express it a number of times. A mother will sit back and she will say, God is going to take my part. And God is going to take care of my children, and she's not doing anything to watch them. Consequently, the children get killed. Something happens to them because the mother made no effort to oversight them. God could not help her lest he be partakers of her evil and unconcerned and justify her lethargy. Therefore, God could not do it because God is holy and just. But there is the other mother that prays, fasts, watches her children, does everything she possibly can, tutor them according to the ways of godliness, tries to constrain them in every manner. Then she says, God will watch after my children, and so he does. Because God can watch after them. When some things start to happen to those children, God will say to the angels of heaven, don't let that happen. That mother has done all that she can. She needs help and she needs strength. And I can help her, and it is my delight to do things for the children of men. Go and help her. Don't let anything happen, because she has done all she can. And as a consequence of that, the mother receives help and the children are safe. Many hundreds of thousands of people around the world, religious people that is, Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterian, Church of God, Episcopalian, Catholic, Church of Science, Christian Science that is, many hundreds of thousands of people are going to hell. Yet they believe in their intellectual reasoning that they are going to heaven. But they believe a lie and they are going to be damned. Why are they going to be damned? For this reason. They say that God is good. They say that God loves us. They say that God died for the sins of all mankind, and so he did. God is good. God does love us. It is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and have everlasting life. So then they say God will take us all to heaven. I belong to this church. You belong to that church. We all believe in God. We all march along together. We're all going to heaven. But I want you to know there's going to be a great disappointment. It goes back to the two mothers. One stays home. One does not try to live right. One does not try to pray. One does not try to conform to the gospel. One does not try to put away sin and evil. One does not repent as God commanded them to do. They just say, I believe he's my God. We're going to heaven. They join a church, and as a consequence of that, they die and go to hell. God turns them into the lake of fire. Because though he had a desire to help them, and though he had a desire to justify them, he could not justify them because they were wicked. They made no effort to keep from being wicked. They loved worldliness and they loved the things of the world. And they went contrary to what God had told them to do, in that he told them to come out of the world, be a separate people that he might be able to receive them. He told them that if they had the love of the world in them, the love of God wasn't there. And they made no effort to get the love of the world out of them. He said, draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you. He said, repent, lest you perish. They made no effort to do that. So then, there is hundreds of thousands of people that are not making any effort to conform to the image of Christ Jesus, nor to live right, and they will be turned into the lake of fire. Why? Because they do not have faith. They have an evil heart of unbelief. So then, the person that believes God, he says to them, show me your faith by your efforts, by your works. Faith without works is dead in this way. You say that you believe, but do you really believe in something when you make no effort toward it? Whatever a person believes in doing, they will do. Whatever a person believes in, they will practice. What they do not practice or what they do not do, they do not believe in it. Therefore, they have an evil heart of unbelief. They will not receive salvation from God. But on the other hand, faith speaks after this fashion. If you believe in something, Lord, I believe in you. I believe in what the preacher said. I believe in the Word of God. Therefore, Heavenly Father, I am going to do my very best to please you and to conform to your ways and to think the thoughts that you would be happy with, to do the things that you would have me to do, to be the kind of person that you would want me to be, even as Christ, my example. Father, I'm going to do my best. And then the voice comes back from heaven, any shortcomings on your part, the blood atonement takes care of it. I have perfected thee forever. And when you stand before God, he will say, in spite of all of your mistakes and shortcomings, he will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast had faith. Being ruler over a few things, you've been faithful. Your shortcomings I have made up for by the blood atonement. Enter into the joys of the Lord that was prepared for thee from the foundation of the world. That is the difference between faith, the believer, and the unbeliever. That is the difference. That is the disappointment that those evil ones are going to receive and the great satisfaction that the righteous ones are going to receive. So then, it is the same principles in any condition, under any condition, with any individual. If you truly have faith in God, then you will make a step forward to prove it. I buy a plane, I buy a boat, I buy a press, I buy video, radio equipment, I build buildings, I travel into the foreign fields, I buy, I go, I give, I pay, all by faith. Not because I have it, for if I had it, it wouldn't be faith. I do it because I believe it. You've got to think big to be big. And I know that a lot of people get out on a limb with that. And they say, well, I think big. I believe I'm a big feller. I believe I can do this. I believe I'm going to be a millionaire. But that wasn't what God was telling us. And that's not what I'm telling you. To think big in your head is just a nightmare and a brainstorm. To believe that you're big and that you're going to do big things in your natural brain work, so far as you're thinking, only means you're going to crash up. That you're thinking too highly of yourself. But when I say think big, I mean think big in Christ. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, that did not limit the Holy One, that believed that he could be the same thing that God was by the strength of God. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Be strong in the power of my might. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. When I say think big, I'm speaking of think big in your heart. The Bible said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. That is, believe big. You must believe big. When I go to buy something, it's like when we bought the things that we bought, the boat when we bought it. I said, God has given me a boat, Betty. I go to look for my boat. So we found our boat. Now, I did not have the money for the boat, but the boat is all paid for. It was a big boat, the kind that I wanted. Delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. When I went to look for the plane, I said, Betty, the Lord hath given me a plane. Sister Betty said, well, you know we can't afford it. I said, I know we can't afford it. That's why the Lord gave it to me. If I would have had to have afforded it, I couldn't have got it. But in that he gave it to me, I don't have to afford it. He took care of it. I said, they will bring the plane and land it right up here on the Monroe Airstrip. They did bring the plane. They landed it on the Monroe Airstrip. It is sitting there tonight. It is our plane. Not only that, but he has met the commitment that I made on it by faith. Now, it's like the other day I was praying in my room. And I was talking to the Lord about a bus, whereas he just sent me one bus because I'd asked him for it. A couple of buses, that is. We'd sold one of the others. Another bus that we'd sold, he'd given me. We'd sold to the city up here. Semi-cruiser, a Greyhound. But I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I need a trailway. I feel I need a trailway bus. I at least want one for my brothers, sisters, for the track crusades, going to church, or the tent meetings and whatever. And I said, I want you to give me one. So the Lord said, you can have it. So he gave me the trailway. Now, like I told the brethren the other night, I don't know where it's at. Not yet. But I told them, I said, I would appreciate it if you would look around and find out where my bus is. Now, you say, Brother Pike, you're trying to be funny. I'm not trying to be funny. If you know God and God knows you, then you know when God speaks to you and you understand. I know when Brother Gary speaks to me, and Gary knows when I speak to him. And if I tell Gary something, he doesn't make a joke out of it. How much less should we make a joke out of something God tells us? God said, I give you a trailway bus, son. I said, I thank you, Heavenly Father. And I told the brethren to please look for my trailway bus. I want to know where it's at. It won't be long, and we'll have it, then you'll see it. We'll bring it out here, and you can see it, the one that God gave us. But I'm speaking of faith in God. Do you have faith in God? What is faith in God? Faith in God is when you believe a thing, you prove that you believe it because you step forward to do it. If you don't step forward to pray for the sick, that's a positive proof you don't believe God will heal the sick. But if you believe that God will heal the sick, you step forward to pray for the sick. That's why I pray all during the night. I pray for the sick. I don't always make a show out of it like some of the men do in the meetings. And yet in my tent meetings, I always pray for the sick so much. But the thing is, I pray secretly. A lot of times, many, many requests come in. And we pray for them, and God heals them. God does something for them. I do that because I believe in God and in what God said. Now then, Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Betty and I, we believe that, so we practice that. And by TV and by radio on the printed page and whatever. Personal witnesses on the street, in the fields, wherever we have preached the gospel as much as lies within us, Paul said, and we are trying to enlarge our curtains, stretch forth our tent in a greater way by sending the boat into the foreign fields and using the plane for world evangelism. We've got some plans and programs for it, and even though Satan has hindered in every way, and on the boat alone, we've already invested more than $50,000 Yet God has graciously met every bit of it and is still doing it and will do it until He tells us exactly what to do. In the meantime, we've got some programs and we're pushing forward to try to do something for God. How? Trying to do it by being spiritual, hearing what the Spirit saith unto the church, and also trying to take a step by faith with loyal and faithful brethren that are walking with us in this cause. Like we got together last night, the President of the United States said there is a recession. So then I said, brethren, now let's prove the government of God upon the shoulders of the sons of God. I said, if you don't believe in sonship and the word of God, I said, let's get together and we'll do something and prove it. I said, we are going to declare tonight at this time there will not be a recession at Bethlehem, and neither will there be a recession throughout the United States. We spoke it out of existence. It will not be. Now, you say, you don't know. Yes, I do know. Jesus said, whatever you say, if you believe it, you can have it. We say, it's not going to be. We're the sons of God. We're God's children. We're the ones that's in authority. We're the ones that have the power to say, not them. No matter what the president says, it has nothing to do with it. Now, if you don't believe it's true, what we said, wait and see. Watch real close and see if God don't bring it to pass. Now, the brethren wholeheartedly endorsed it and stood up with it, and it will come to pass. Trust in the Lord. He will bring it to pass. Trust in the Lord. Don't fret yourself because of evildoers. Be strong in the power of His might. Do something in the behalf of the people. Help the feeble people that run around hollering recession, going into a panic and getting nervous and all tore up. Going to tear up the economy. Help the people. Strengthen the people. Encourage the people. Stand with the people. Prove God. Show God. As Daniel did when they put him in the lion's den and the Hebrew children. When they put him in the fire furnace. When they went contrary to what the king of Babylon had said. And prove their God and prove their point. You love Jesus? I want you to consider these things tonight. A few things of exhortation as to encourage you in faith and how faith should work. And you, if you believe something, convince your heart of it. Then step forward to do it. I challenge you to do it in Jesus' name and see if it don't happen every time. I want you to stand with me. Let's sing this little chorus together. I love Him, can you? I love Him. Do you love Him? I love Him. Do you ever tell Him? All because Jesus first loved me. He proved it at Calvary. And He purchased mine. Salvation on Calvary's tree. Sing it with me. Oh, I love Him. Oh, I love Him. All because He first loved me, and He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Let me tell you something just for a minute. While paying all the bills, I decided we'd buy a plane, and we bought a plane. And my wife, working so faithfully with me, was happy over the situation and the Lord meeting it. And she said, now we just be conservative, take care of everything, and work things out for the Lord. And I said, we will. We will. But I forgot to tell her that I done bought a herd of cattle. Done made the agreement. But we will work together. We will. The Lord gave them to us. You know, and everything will be all right. But I believe in being industrious for the Lord. Don't you? I believe in being industrious for the Lord. Let's do something for Jesus. Let's pray and let's believe God. Let's exercise our faith. If I made a commitment to the man and told him I'd take him for the brothers, for the brotherhood. We had a herd of cattle one time and they didn't take care of them, so I got rid of them. We've got a herd of cattle a time or two and some stock by faith. But this time I feel like they'll take care of them. But we have the tractor and whatever to raise, that is the farming equipment, to raise something with. And I trust that they'll do it. I trust that they will get down to business and raise some stuff. They're fixing to open up their little store again. As a matter of fact, Jim, Brother Carl, and some of them are going to finish it up, at least to where it can be usable. Over the weekend, they're going to do that. We've already got the material for it. And so within a day or two, the little store will be open. And you'll need the beef. And you'll need that you raise in the gardens and whatever. I believe that you're going to be a little bit different. God has a threefold program to meet your natural needs, your physical needs, and your spiritual needs. And that's the way you'll recognize Jesus. The multitude continued with him so many days, he said, feed them. You'll always know Jesus by his threefold purpose in the earth. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The great one God that meets all of your needs. Meets your natural needs as the Father to a Son. He meets your physical needs as a brother that strengtheneth and standeth by brother. Being the firstborn among many brethren. He meets your spiritual need as that high priest, that innermost friend that sticketh closer than a brother, that can feel the feelings of your infirmity, to know when you're sad and when you are happy. Let's just lift our hands up and love Jesus. Let's thank God for his wonderful government in the earth, his wonderful promises, his wonderful blessings. For I would above all things that ye prosper in the natural, that you be in health in the physical, that your soul may prosper in the spiritual. This I would above all things, brethren, that you be complete in him, body, soul, and spirit, and have all your needs met. That you can not only have natural things, but physical health, to enjoy it, and spiritual inspiration, to give you the unction and drive, to make it like a springtime morning, to move the oppression while you enjoy it. While you've got your hands up, I want Brother Chris to come up here, if he will. And I want him to pray with you. I want him to pray for the health of your body. Pray that God will heal you, save you, forgive you. God will teach you. God will make you a great people. Paul said your faith is spoken of throughout the world, and so it is. Continue, folks, to be a bright light, a great light, a mighty light in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation. So let your light shine. Then men may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. If you do that, someday you'll have a great reward and you'll be so thankful and so glad because you had enough interest to be about your Father's business.